You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
This is Homegrown Girls Podcast with your hosts, Renice and Stephanie, helping you live a healthier life. This podcast is sponsored by Classy's Natural Laundry Soap and Rocky's Natural Body Products. Hey, this is your girl, Stephanie.
And this is Renice.
And we are coming to you today to talk a little bit about our favorite thing, living your life's purpose or following your passion, which we both have done. So I just want to kind of tune in. I know it's been like a really kind of crazy week for both of us. So Renice, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Albeit the weather. The weather really sucks.
Oh, yeah.
My sinuses have been giving me the flux. Because we're still into winter, almost six months into the year. No, but so I've been really Googling natural cures for sinus relief.
Have you tried local honey with a little bit of cinnamon? Have you tried the apple cider vinegar and water in the morning?
Let me tell you something about Google. For a hyperchondriac, Google can be...
Oh, it can mess you up.
Yeah, it can mess you up in the head. This is why. So I type in my symptoms, and I'm like, because what I'm really having is a lot of pressure and pain. And so that is a result if you have sinus issues from the blockages in your passages swelling.
Yes.
And the mucus not being able to pass through.
To drain through, yep.
So from there, I start reading these articles, and they're like, well, if the pain persists, it could be something more serious, such as
cancer.
A neurological disorder. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I don't need you today, Google. I'm just going to see it.
Oh, the same thing happened. I think the last time we were on our first episode, I couldn't hear out of my left ear, and it was like that for quite a while. So I was like, my ear is plugged. Google, along with the help of my lovely husband, is like, you might have ear cancer. I'm like, great.
So I go to
the doctors, and I'm like, I either have wax buildup or ear cancer. I would like for you to check it out.
I know doctors have to really hate the internet. So sometimes, like, because they're like, I spent all this money on a degree or to become a doctor. And then people come in here and want to self-diagnose themselves. I mean, but because we're like, you get it where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Like, I prefer natural medicine to traditional medicine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, have you tried the neti pot? And not, I'm saying not just the neti pot, but actually after you do the neti pot and you drain it all out. So a lot of the Ayurvedic practices will also say putting like oil drops into your nostrils to keep them nice and moisturized.
Okay,
because
haven't done
same
that.
Thing like with your skincare. If you have a lot of acne buildup and you are using a harsh chemical like charcoal or anything else like that to try to get rid of all of the acne and be able to clear out the skin. A lot of times if it's just too dry, it produces extra of the oil.
Okay.
Same thing with the mucus. If the nose and the nasal passages is too dry, it's going to cause extra of the mucus in there. So by doing the neti pot, and I can actually send you some articles, but if you do the neti pot, clear it out and then put some oil drops in it. And there's a couple, I think sesame oil is one of them. To put a couple of drops, it's going to feel like you're kind of drowning in like oil.
Mm-hmm.
But it will help moisturize the nasal passages and it won't produce the excess of the mucus buildup.
Okay.
So try doing something like that and see if that works.
Text that to me because you know I'll forget. if you're listening, if you can't tell, that's what me and Stephanie are really passionate about. Like, the natural way as opposed to the traditional way
of medicating
yourself, because a lot of it, I was watching a special on PBS, a documentary about how antibiotics are in a couple years, they're just not going to work.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I like to try to self-medicate myself also. I'm not trying to scare myself into a conundrum of different diagnoses, and I'm not trying to take anything away from doctors. But, you know, that's why we both became so passionate about it, is because I don't want to become so dependent on doctors and medication that your body is probably the smartest machine. It's smarter than the computer. Most people don't realize that. We give it less credit than it's due. It can heal itself if you allow it.
Exactly.
And which is probably how me and Stephanie came upon our paths, or why we said to hell with the 9 to 5 in a way and just went on our own off the beaten path. So I used to work for a health insurance company, the largest health insurance company in Michigan. And I did customer service for quite a bit. And it really would sadden me, actually, to have people call in and they're talking about what all ails them and how many prescriptions they're on. And you're like, and then you look at their age or their demographics and you're like, you're not that old.
Yeah.
And you're on this and this and that, and you're getting this. And I mean, I don't judge people because you don't know what's going on in someone's life.
And it's the amount of money that, I mean, because you worked for a health insurance company. Mm-hmm. So health insurance is going to only cover a portion of it. But like the biggest thing that causes a lot of debt in the United States is the medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at that, like, besides some other things, but a lot of it is medical bills. I had a father-in-law who had to get a quadruple bypass surgery. If it wasn't, like, we looked at the bills, that's $500,000 surgery.
Yes.
Right there. And how many of those can someone really afford? Yeah, medical insurance is going to cover part of it if you have good medical insurance.
Exactly.
But if you don't, how much of that is really going to be spent out of pocket that you have to pay for something that you can prevent in a natural way with nutrition,
exactly,
with exercise, by going with a more natural route? And that's why I think there's a huge turn, especially a lot more with the millennials. And I would say I'm on the upper cusp of that millennial generation where we're looking for more natural, holistic ways of doing something. I was just listening to another podcast that I love, and it was all about Ayurvedic. And I'm got my background is in nutrition. I recently got that, but I'm even thinking about, like, man, I kind of want to go into more of Ayurvedic practitioner, even doing a little bit more focusing on digestion. As you were saying with the
antibiotics
all the time, I always tell a lot of my clients, so my background is I'm a nutritionist, but I tell a lot of my clients, if you are on an antibiotic, making sure, especially if you're on it frequently with sinus infections or any of these other kind of infections that you have, is really messing up your microbiome and your gut. So having a good probiotic.
And the gut is the second brain. To some researchers, they might even say it's the first brain.
Exactly.
So a lot of people don't know that, but that's beginning to be a real hot button topic too.
Mm-hmm. And your gut is going to, your mood, mental clarity. You know, if you're, like I was telling someone in a presentation earlier today, if you're constipated down there, you're constipated in your brain.
You're clouded in your
brain. Yeah. Your mood changes. Like, that's when you see a lot of people who are just moody all the time. You're like, there's something wrong with that person. It's because they're not having an actual gut flow, that good gut flora. And so now there's a lot of companies out there that you can do at-home testing for microbiome testing. And a lot of the research is going towards that, because if you don't have a good gut, everything else is going to start falling apart around you.
Mm-hmm. And that was leading me to say, that's working at the company. I enjoyed my job for the most part. But that's what working there for almost 11 years is what really I churned this passion inside of me as far as taking the natural route to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would see the claims, I would listen to the patients or subscribers or callers and think, this is what I don't want to be.
Exactly.
I don't want to be so dependent on medicine and doctors that I'm literally probably spending more for health insurance than I am on housing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they say housing is the largest part of a person's budget, but I believe it, depending on the state of your health, it could be your health, your medical bills. And I didn't want to be that.
You didn't want to be that statistic.
Exactly. And I guess it is my life's mission. I've incorporated it into a large part of my life.
You think about it all the time.
Yeah, I think about it all the time. I always think it's one of the reasons why I'm still suffering with the sinuses.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to go to the doctor and I didn't want to get an antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to like kind of self-medicate myself. And so what you touched on as far as the neti pot, I do own a neti pot. I've also been taking oregano oil and black seed oil.
Okay.
Because oregano oil is a natural antibiotic, if you don't know. Apple cider vinegar is also, I know you know, our listeners, but apple cider vinegar is also a natural antibiotic, and also the raw honey, as you said.
Exactly. And so, having the raw honey from your local farmer's market, especially if you have the seasonal allergies, mm-hmm. because the bees are pollinating all of those things. So like most people probably don't have clover as an allergy. But when you're getting clover honey, that's all that it's coming from. It's coming from a clover plant. Mm-hmm. So getting like the wild honey or going to your local farmer's market, I was fortunate for years to have a beekeeper down the street so we would get the local honey there.
You had a beekeeper?
I had a beekeeper in the city.
Living in the city?
Living in the city.
Yeah, because we're all both from Detroit. So yeah, a beekeeper living in the
city. It's a very rare thing. But now they're starting to get a little bit more of them. But like I said, having it from someone that's local, those bees are pollinating everything around the ragweed, all of that stuff that I was allergic to, and just consuming like a teaspoon a day.
So let me specify something, or let me clarify. He was actually keeping the bees on his property?
Oh, yeah. He had hundreds of thousands of them.
Wow.
He had three or four hives. But the problem was a couple of years ago, they had I think they had an issue with an illness that had affected a lot of the bees. And you know how the colonies are all about is that the queen bee, if anything happens to her,
yes,
the rest of the colony ends up kind of dying off. So that happened to him twice. There was like an epidemic and stuff like that. So he ended up kind of closing his stuff off, and then he ended up getting sick and passed away. So unfortunately, we aren't getting it locally any longer. But back to your point about all of the illnesses, I know from your standpoint, seeing it from the health insurance aspect is what sparked your passion to want to go into this field of living and telling people about more of a natural way of life, creating your own laundry soap and really trying to teach people how they can change some of the harsh chemicals in their day-to-day lives into something that's a little bit more natural.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what sparked my interest to get into a lot more of the health and wellness, becoming a trainer and a nutritionist was seeing parts of it was dealing with my own body image issues as a child, dealing with anorexia and dealing with a lot of that. But also a lot of it was with my dad, who I was super close to, when he passed away of cancer. And even when he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, I felt like I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what to do. And at my current field at the time, it had nothing to do with health and wellness at all. It was a very corporate job. And I knew that was very time demanding. And I was sitting there thinking, man, is this something that I could have done preventative to help him? And I knew at that point at stage 4, it was just a matter of how many months or years do I have to spend time with him? So once he passed, I continue going through my job and I'm sitting there thinking, man, my dad like worked this, you know, odd jobs here and there or whatever, but was chasing the dollar his whole entire life. Do I really want to spend 60 plus years of my life chasing after a dollar mm-hmm. to maybe provide for my family, being miserable?
Mm-hmm.
Or would I rather do something that I'm
which
more-
is also an impact upon health.
Yes.
Stress and being unhappy.
Oh, yeah.
People don't give it as much credit as it's due.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
I was talking to a client like just before here, earlier today, I had a client, one of my health coaching clients. We went through an exercise, like a visualization exercise. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it in my health coaching and life coaching, we do for a lot of visualizations. And he was visualizing a healthier version of himself. So his goal is to lose, you know, more than 20 pounds of weight. And he just started talking a little bit about his time and experience being in Hawaii. Like, who doesn't want to live in Hawaii, right?
Right.
He had the luxury of doing that for a considerable amount of time, for like about 6 years. And his face just lit up. Like, he was like, I was swimming with the sharks, and I was hiking, and I was biking,
he
and
was
I was
doing everything
swimming
he loved to do.
All the time, and I had this fresh food all the time. And then I was like, okay, so what's going on now? She's like, well, now I'm living in the city, and I'm taking care of my family. And in our culture, the Hispanic culture, we feed each other food all the time. Like, that's how we show our love and our affection. And a lot of it is laden with lard and unhealthy products and stuff like that. And his just the mood changed mm-hmm. from him talking about, like, paradise, living in paradise and being able to wake up and do all these amazing things. And he's like, I want to swim with the great white sharks without having a gate around me. And I was like, that is awesome and very freaking scary. But power to you. Power to you. But that's his ultimate goal, is to get back there. And
right.
I'm like, well, what's stopping you? And he's like, family obligations. And I got mm-hmm. this business that I'm like doing. But I could see that the passion was no longer there. Even though he was passionate about the work he was doing, it was environment. Being here mm-hmm. versus being in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. If he was able to do the exact same stuff that he was doing here, the cultural aspect, teaching kids all these amazing things about our culture and with the like the music and the dance, but being able to do that and bring it to Hawaii, that would be his living of the dream. But what was holding him back was the obligation. I have to be the responsible person. Mm-hmm. I have to take care of my family. I have to take care of this business. They can't survive without me. And at the end of the day, it's saying, what is more important? Who is a priority? Because if you don't put yourself first, if you don't make yourself a priority and you don't chase after those goals and those dreams and those aspirations, at the end of the day, your health is going to be declining. It already has been because you're telling me that the environment that you're in is depressing you. The people that are around you is just pulling you down, dragging you down, and it's causing all this excess stress and weight gain. So how effective are you really going to be laying up in the hospital, sick, having a surgery, tons of medical debt, all of this stuff, when you could be living your life of freedom, of luxury, of just being able to like have a healthy, like go for a run, mm-hmm. swim with those great white sharks, whatever it may be, knowing that you are in a better mental, physical state, mm-hmm. 360 wellness right there, and you can give so much more back.
And you know, they say the best way to figure out what you want out of life is to figure out what you don't want. And I like I said, I don't hate the job I used to have, but I no longer wanted to be there at one point. So when I was laid off,
you were like, woohoo!
Yeah, it was like an answered prayer. So as far as I'm concerned, but it helped me figure out what I didn't want. Yeah. And what I didn't want was to wake up after 30 years of service there, because I only had like 11. So that was for 20 the average.
Years?
There were people that working there longer than I've been alive. Mm-hmm. And so,
just punching the car,
just right.
Getting I'm the like, paycheck, getting
I can't
insurance.
Do this mm-hmm. every day. This is not my passion. So, as I became more health conscious, and also as you said, 360 wellness became more spiritually mm-hmm. conscious and mental. Like that's not good for my health either.
No,
you know, diet is not only what you put in your mouth; it's what you take in. Period. What you absorb.
Yeah.
What you constantly say to yourself, what you constantly hear, what you watch, what you listen to.
What you nourish yourself
what you nourish
so many,
yourself
so
with.
Many different aspects.
And so, like I said, I just was like, whoop, whoop, when it was time for me to go. But I wanted to touch on something that you said when you spoke about your father. And when once you found out about the stage four cancer, is that also, we should also mention that we are minority women, unless... be honest, it's an unfortunate statistic, but minorities suffer from most debilitating diseases mm-hmm. far more instances than our counterparts.
Exactly.
And as a African-American woman, I don't like that.
Oh, I don't like it either.
I don't like where that's going. I don't like where it comes from. But something can be done about it. And it's a lot easier than most people think. It's not all about gym memberships and prepackaged food, or what is that, meal prep? Mm-hmm. It is simple as cutting sugar out.
Small swaps.
Not drinking soda.
Not being part, this is the biggest thing that I used to hate so much, the Clean Plate Club. How many times, and this is maybe, I don't know if it's a minority thing or not, but how many times were we sat there and made feeling like crap because
you don't
we're not part of
food.
The Clean Plate Club?
Yes.
Like, you got to finish this food. And you're like, but I'm not hungry. Well, there's a starving child in Africa. Well, okay, great. I understand that.
And
but
now
this
we
child
know
right
that's
here,
a bad thing.
Exactly.
Eating beyond the point of when you feel
gluttony.
Full. Exactly. And, right, it's like, what kind of, you're actually indoctrinating a kid to eat beyond their feel.
And that's one of the things I always talk to.
With
a lot
guilt.
Of my, yeah. One of the things I talk to my clients, I did a presentation earlier today. Figuring out what is your hunger signals,
mm-hmm.
what is your fullness signals. Too often, how many times do we eat like it's Thanksgiving Day all the time, right? We eat till we're stuffed and
just
everyone
say Thanksgiving all the time.
No, but like so people always sit there and talk about like, oh, it's the turkey. It's the turkey for Thanksgiving that makes you tired. No. It's an overabundance of food.
And it's the food combinations.
It's the food combinations and it's an overabundance of food because when you eat past that 70 or 80% fullness, Your body does not have enough room in your gut to be able to fully digest that food, and you're spending all of your energy. You only have X amount of energy stores a day.
Mm-hmm.
So your body has to use that for your day-to-day functions, for your brain activity and everything else, for if you're doing any kind of physical fitness, whatever it may be, and digestion. Digestion in itself is a form of energy expenditure. So if you eat to the past that you're past full, right, clean play club, eat till you're like stuffed, you're tired because mm-hmm. your body's like, well, I got to digest this food and I got to spend all this time digesting this food.
And back to the gut brain.
Yes.
So your brain is sluggish because your gut is using all of its energy to digest this food. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're in a cloud all the time.
Exactly.
That's why people always say, oh, I'm no good after lunchtime. No, that's because you ate too much.
Or you didn't eat the right amount of things.
Exactly.
What were you having? I always go back to, okay, when is your energy slumps? Today I was talking to people like, how many times do you have about 3 or more cups of coffee? What are you eating prior to? What did you have for breakfast? Did you have a donut for breakfast, which is tasty, right?
Mm-hmm.
No nutritional value. Or did you have oatmeal with some nuts and some chia seeds and some fruit off to the side and maybe some like turkey bacon or turkey sausage or whatever it may be? Something that's a little bit more nutritious. How do you feel 2 hours later? What did you have for lunch? All right. Did you have a hamburger and french fries or did you have a salad with some chicken in it? How are you feeling? Are you grabbing that energy drink at 2 o'clock? Are you feeling that 2 o'clock slump?
Mm-hmm.
You know, back to also how much did you eat? Did you eat that full hamburger or did you eat that whole salad when you really probably was full with like half of it or three quarters of it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things really affect people and people don't realize that.
So your passion is nutrition.
My passion is really
fitness,
nutrition and fitness, trying to help people to live a healthier lifestyle. Like you said, I look at it. I wanted to, when I was a kid, become a pediatrician. And I always laugh now that I'm a little bit older. I'm like, man, I wanted to be a pediatrician to be able to help save the world. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Help a lot of the youth being able to live a healthier lifestyle. I have a massive fear of blood and needles. So that lasted like into college. And then I had to have a come to Jesus kind of moment with my doctor. And he was like, you still pass out when you see blood and needles? I'm like, yeah. But then I went down a different route in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking back at it and I'm like, I spent all this money for grad school, undergrad and everything else. Spent all this money on certifications. I was telling my friend, I'm like, I have like 5 different certifications in health and wellness. Love it. In the last year. But what am I doing again? Right back to where I started off with wanting to do, working and helping save people's lives. But instead of it being on, I'm on the proactive side. How do I prevent preventative care? How
yes.
do I prevent you from getting mm-hmm. to the point where you need to go and have these massive procedures instead of being on the reactive side where you're treating stuff? So I'm not, I mean, like I said, I love doctors, but let's focus on how do we prevent you from even needing to go see the doctor
exactly.
and spending all this money on your medical stuff. You know, doctors have their place.
Exactly.
I work alongside with a lot of doctors. I love them. But we should not have to rely on them for every small ailment
exactly.
that we have when you can heal yourself in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And what I was just thinking when I worked at the company, my biggest fear was becoming diabetic because I have a few family members that suffer from diabetes. And that whole, I remember going to the doctor and them actually telling me my insulin was kind of high. I was like pre-diabetic. And not like it's the worst thing in the world, but diabetes can lead to some pretty serious stuff if unchecked. And I'm like, so I just made minor tweaks here and there, you know, and people, I don't know. I've heard people say eating healthy is expensive. And so are medical bills and so are funerals.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say. Dying is still. I hear people, you know, exercising is so tough or like being healthy is so tough. So is being unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So is waking up every day hating your life.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about you said that you realized that you didn't want to be in that field again. I remember the day talking about back to the passion. I remember one day driving into work and I told myself this a long time ago. If I drive into work and I'm dreading Monday morning. And all I'm sitting there is thinking about the hours until Friday afternoon. It's time for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing. You pick, you're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Being an entrepreneur as we are right now, it's tough. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit there and lie. I spend countless hours, and you do too. We spend countless hours. Pretty much, I'm up at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I probably be I won't come home until 8, 9 o'clock at night. All right? Do I make the same amount of money that I was making in corporate America?
Absolutely not.
No, a quarter of that, right?
I'm not even making
a quarter of that. Like, I told my husband, if I can go the first year without being in debt, I'll be happy. But you spend, and I work my butt off more than I ever had before because I'm doing it for my passion. I am up until 11 o'clock at night. I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I am doing blood, sweat, and tears. Am I seeing a lot of income coming in? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But that's what I'm doing because I pick my heart. Do I want to go to work and hate my life? Or do I want to pursue something that I love, knowing that down the line it's going to be more productive? I mean,
now here's my metaphysical point of view on it. I really believe life is all about energy.
Mm.
And if you spend 40 hours a week at a job that you hate, that's bad energy for a lot of hours out of that week. And then sometimes you take that stuff home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean take it home with you, I'm not talking about in the literal sense. Everybody doesn't have to take their work home, literally. But you take it home, like you carry the stress, you carry the hate home with you. Sunday evening comes or whatever day comes that you got to go back to work. You can't even fully enjoy your weekend because that night you're like dreading going back to work. Like, what type of life is that? That's a bad energy. And mm-hmm. energy affects every part of your body, your health, whether you realize it or not. Even if you're not all into the sun, as my cousin call it, the sun, the moon, and the stars, whenever I talk about some new age stuff. She's like, I'm not into the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay, whatever. Even if you're not into it, you got to know stress takes its toll.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
In so many unrealized ways.
I wanted to talk. So everyone probably knows Amazon,
mm-hmm.
And I love Amazon. Just recently bought stock in Amazon. Amazon and I are like BFS.
Amazon Prime.
Yes, exactly.
Best day ever.
But did you know that the founder of Amazon, Jeff, and I'm not even trying to say his last name, Bezos, yeah, something like that. So he started this whole job out of his garage,
mm-hmm.
and he had a nice corporate job. And he actually went and talked to his boss and his wife. He talked to his wife, of course, first. You got to talk to your wife before you talk to your boss. Man, if there's men out there.
The real boss.
Yeah, talk to the real boss at home. Talked to his wife, told him, like, I have this crazy idea that I'm going to quit my job and going to start this internet startup company. Like, this selling books is what Amazon originally started off.
Yep.
He's like, probably won't start work because most startups don't. Then he went to talk to his boss. And his boss said, you know, that sounds great, but you got a cushy job. Great thing. Let's take a walk. Why do you really want to leave this thing? I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. It makes sense. I should probably stay at my job. And after thinking about it for about 48 hours, he decided to say, you know what? Skip it. I'm going to start up Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Out of my garage, I'm going to start this thing. I want to sell these books. I'm going to deliver it by bike to the post office. Do you know right now? According to Bloomberg Billionaires Index, he is the first person to pass the $100 billion mark, making him the richest man in the world.
I hope his wife is still married to him.
I'm like, yes.
I hope she stuck it out and stuck with him because I'm sure it was all worth it.
So, the thing about it is, if he took his boss's advice, right? His wife was all supportive. But
who's giving you the advice. Let me say this part because I liked that you touched on that. When I thought about quitting my job mm-hmm. before they laid me off, I went to several people and mentioned it. And you know what they said? Well, where are you going to go and make this type of money? Like, it's a job.
Yeah.
You will find another job. Trust me. It could take a matter of time before you get back into that amount of money, but it's a job. But guess what? Here's the irony of life. I want to say maybe a year and a half later, maybe I found the job making exactly what I was making when I left.
And like you said, it's
and I wind up quitting it because after, let me tell you, because after a while, I was like, I found myself falling back into that rut.
Same habits, yeah.
That way of thinking that I was feeling when I left my last job. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not worth it. Not only did I find a job, I was possibly about to even make more than what I was making when I left the old job. Better benefits, more freedom. Just it was a nice job, but it was not my calling.
But you also still only have, you have a limit on
exactly.
how much you can make, right? So I tell people all the time, when you, and I'm not ditching like a 9-to-5 job. You know, like a lot of people work
a 9-to-5
job.
Oh, no, they have their purposes.
My husband does, thank goodness, because I need
Trust
him to pay
me.
My bills.
Yes.
But the 9-to-5 job is great, but at the end of the day, you have to realize that the employer is looking out for their best mm-hmm. interest. So who the heck is looking out for yours? Go into that job. Negotiate what you want and be willing. I tell people all the time, especially the youth, be willing to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Negotiate whatever it is. I want to make $75,000 and I want 3 weeks of vacation and I want my health care. I want my vision. I want my dental. I want my health insurance, you know, whatever else it may be. And I want a signing bonus. I want a $5,000 signing bonus. If that's what you want, put it out there.
Let me say this. Don't let anybody else determine your self-worth.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, be willing to walk away. The most powerful negotiation techniques I've ever had is that I put down what I wanted and I walked away. They said, you know what? I don't think I can do that. Kid you not, Renice. 10 minutes later, I got a phone call. Hey, can you come back? Oh, I thought you didn't want me.
Well, that's I'm glad you touched on that. So this last job that I got where I was making the same amount of money as I was making when I left my insurance, the health insurance job, on the interview, the interviewing manager asked me a question I've never been asked before. He said, I see you've been out of work for some time now. Are you desperate at this point? Are you still, and I may be wording it wrong, but basically what he was asking me, are you acting out of a point of desperation or are you acting out of a point or you can still be selective? No one's ever asked me that before. And I was like, oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
That's a good question for every part of life.
And I thought, I was like, that's
like relationships?
A good question for every part of life. Are you acting out of desperation? Or are you still, is this just you being selective? Are you able to be like, I don't want this?
You know what? I want to start using that for some of my coaching things. Because, I mean, think about it. Relationships.
How many times
have we entered into relationships where we're desperate, right?
Are you acting out of desperation because you don't want to be alone?
Because you're single for years. You know, all your friends, you get to a certain point. And the social media is horrible, right? You get to a certain point in life. You know, maybe the younger ones that are still in college. These are your prime years. You're having a great time. All your friends are doing everything. And then all of a sudden you get out of college and somewhere around 25, your friends are like, oh, I got married and I got engaged. And now I'm on a baby. Now I'm on my fifth baby. Da, 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 da. And you're still single. And you told yourself back in your 1920s that you wanted to be single until you're like in your late 20s. Then social media kicks in and you realize, oh my gosh, everyone's going forward. And I'm like, feel like I'm behind, acting out of desperation. How many times do you enter into those relationships where you know it's not good?
Even friendships.
Friendships. Toxic relationships.
People don't want to really be friends with certain people, but they feel like, I don't have anybody else in my corner, or maybe that friend serves some purpose. I've known people to stay friends with people simply out of the length of time that they've known them. They feel like they won't have a more endearing friendship because I've known this person 20 years. That could be 20 years of BS.
And they drain the life out of you. These toxic relationships.
I've had several toxic so-called friendships. Yeah.
I mean, you sit there and you get off the phone and you call them up and relationship or whatever. Hey, girl, what's going on? And then before you leave it, you're like, oh my gosh, my life sucks.
Well, somebody's just not genuinely happy for you.
Yeah. Like you want to tell them something awesome, like, oh my gosh, let me tell you what happened. Oh, well, let me tell you what happened. My day sucked. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. Why am I still with you? Like, why am I your friend?
And I'm so glad he asked me that question, because what it made me look back over is the time I spent at the other job. I was like, I wasn't happy for a long time there.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept going back out of desperation.
Exactly. Desperate.
Because I felt like that was the best I was going to get. And then finally one day I was like, no, this is not the best I'm going to get. I'm going to do better.
Yeah.
And I don't feel, I don't, have any regret. And I feel like I'm doing better now with this. And this is not a paid position. This
no,
is,
but you enjoy doing it.
Exactly.
I enjoy doing it. I was listening to, and this was really, it was a nice mastermind group. And a lady said that her husband, he was making $250,000, right? Had a corporate CEO job, making great money. His friend had left his corporate job and started working for Costco. So it was an older couple, husband and wife. They were in their late 60s. He's getting ready to retire. And he was like, you know what? Joe Smo, whoever my friend is, he's working at Costco. I want to work at Costco. He goes and fills out the application. And this is hilarious. Fills out the application. The Costco calls him. I was like, are you sure you want this job? Like, you're kind of overqualified for this job. Like, you know, being the greeter as you walk into Costco, checking the cards and everything. He's like, yeah, I think I want this job. He took it over to his boss at home, his wife.
Exactly.
Wife said, you know, do what you want to do. You only got a couple more years left for retirement. Do what you want to do. He ends up leaving his $250,000 cushy job, right, to make 15 bucks an hour at Costco and is the happiest person in his life.
And people don't understand how that feeds into your overall health.
Yeah. Money's not everything.
Money is not everything if you don't have health to enjoy it. Mm.
Yeah.
I can't just keep living for the weekend and holidays and days off.
What I look about it is someone else told me, is everything provided for, right? Putting it into that perspective. Do I have a roof over my head? Do I have food in my belly? Do I have, you know, some good relationships here and there? Do I have the basic needs? Do I have clothes?
Mm-hmm.
If everything's provided for, then everything else I have is of excess, right? It's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have the basics that I can take care of my basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
So any extra income is just a considered bonus. I can live happily with my basics. I can live in luxury with my extras.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? Not saying I don't just make the basics, but if you're not happy with your job and, yeah, you're making a good money, can you live with your basics for a while? And then pursue what you really want to do, starting your own business, whatever it may be. And then anything extra mm-hmm. is considered your luxury. Now you can go and travel the world, right?
Right.
How many times have I heard people, I want to go to Thailand, I want to go to here and there? Limited.
But what people fail to realize is everything has a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Even that going into that secure, so-called cushy job every day, you're sacrificing something.
Yeah.
You're sacrificing usually time with your loved ones.
Yeah.
You're sacrificing you living your life to the fullest.
Having a more harmonious life.
Exactly.
I don't say work-life balance because I don't think that's possible for most times because you have seasons. Like, I have seasons in which I don't see my family. Like, mm-hmm. that's not balance. Let's be realistic. I have, like, today, I'm a nutritionist, and before I came in here, I was like, my last meal was at 9 a.m.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, my next meal won't be until like 6:30, and I sat there and I cooked for 30-something people a meal, didn't have an inch to eat. So, like, there's times like that where when you're your own entrepreneur, you don't have that balance,
mm-hmm.
but it's a harmonious life, and you have to make those sacrifices. I made a sacrifice not eating all day.
So tell everybody what it is you do, exactly all what you do, and then I'll tell everybody all what I do.
Okay. So, again, my name is Stephanie, and what I do is I am a health and wellness coach. I do nutrition programs. I really kind of dive deep into what is best for you. So I don't like to go with the basic, like, oh, we have, like, the Whole30, and we have the ketogenic diet, and I know all of those. I know 100-something dietary theories. Figuring out what works best for you. And then also I do, I'm a personal trainer and I'm a group fitness coach at a couple of facilities around town.
Tell them about your deodorant.
Oh, and I make natural deodorant. Yeah. Yes. So, sorry. So my background, because I am an athlete and I'm married to a triathlete, I wanted a natural deodorant that actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find like Tom's or any other stuff that was on the store shelves. I love them, but they didn't seem to last all day long mm-hmm. for the amount of exercise I'm doing. And nobody wants to reapply deodorant multiple times like I was. It's disgusting. And then you smell like someone told me, like a sweet onion. That's not attractive. That's not attractive. I make a natural deodorant. And it's really great because it's moisturizing for your skin. And it will actually help you as you transition from something that has a little bit more of the ammonium, like your over-the-counter kind of stuff. It will help you transition from those products into something a little bit more natural as it detoxifies with the clay. Will actually pull out all those impurities. The only caveat is mm-hmm. it lasts, and this is a good thing for customers. It lasts a long time, mm-hmm. but it's not great for my business because I've had people order for Black Friday, mm-hmm. and I checked in with them recently, and they're still good on their deodorant. So I got to figure out a way to make it last a little bit longer. Not as long. It's good for you guys.
Oh, no, you got to widen your customer base. That's what it is.
That, or I need to make smaller, customers. Like smaller, I don't know.
Yeah, or make smaller.
Because, dude, that's a long time. Like, that's 6 months.
They're like, nope, I don't need to replenish.
I only need two deodorants a year.
I only need two. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what are you doing, Niece? What is your product line?
So I make a natural laundry soap. How I came to that is because I should live in a bubble. I'm allergic to everything. So I bought this leading brand detergent with a leading brand fabric freshener in it. Broke out in hives everywhere. Oh my God. Everywhere that clothing touched on my body, I had hives. Oh. Went to the doctor. He's like, what did you do? What did you eat? And then finally we got to what did you wash your clothes with? He was like, that's it. Don't ever wash your clothes with that ever again. And he basically said, you shouldn't wash with a lot of stuff that's on the market. Mm-hmm. So because I suffer from the allergy, I started to research it. And that's what brought me to make my own. And so now I sell it. Yeah. It'll be on Amazon soon.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm also a writer in the process of penning my own memoir. That's why I talk so much about mental health. As the podcast goes on, I probably will divulge more.
Oh, so same here.
But I have a mother that's suffers from a mental illness. She was abusive to me and my siblings, and so I kind of just want to put a spotlight on that for people mm-hmm. who've been through that,
so they don't feel like victims all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes people go through life and they feel like they're the only person that went through something.
And it's a lot of shame that can kind of be held exactly. back. Like, you don't want to tell someone because you're like, well, geez, what is people going to think about me?
What are people going to think about me? But it's not you. And people have to realize when you're the victim of abuse, it's never about you.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the person that's carrying out the abuse.
Four agreements.
it's not you. It's not personal.
It's not about you. Don't make it personal.
As much as I don't care how close the person is to you, and the person in this case was my mother, and it was not about me. It was about her working through mm-hmm. her unresolved issues.
Exactly.
And so I do this podcast. I'm a writer, and I do the detergent, or I don't like calling it detergent, the natural laundry soap.
Yeah. Awesome.
Because detergent implicates chemicals.
Yeah, true.
Or it implies chemicals, and yeah.
So you said that they're going to be on Amazon pretty soon.
Yes.
Is there anywhere else that they can purchase it?
Right now, because that whole website fiasco.
Oh, I know. Like, I've built so many websites in this place.
Websites are hard.
Oh my gosh!
Hats off to people who do them for a living.
Yeah, it's worth the money.
It's worth the money.
Don't just pay them.
And I'm just gonna have to break down and pay yeah. one of the experts to do it for me.
Just pay them, because I've built too many websites, and it's like you get it up and then you lose it, and you're like, oh God.
I do have an email address, however.
Okay.
It's classiescleanlaundrysoap@gmail.com.
Awesome. And then for my deodorant, you can find Rocky's Natural Deodorant by looking on Facebook. It's under Rocky's Natural Body Products. So I'm hoping to roll out some more things. I'm looking at maybe doing some perfumes, some natural perfumes, maybe with essential oils, and then also some soap too.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom wants me to make some cream, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to go in that route.
And what, Stephanie, it seems like I heard you talk about something else that you do.
Everything.
You wear a lot of hats.
Oh my goodness!
I know you do the events. Trainer, because you were once my trainer.
I do events. I do festival every year.
You did.
Oh my god! I do a cultural festival. Yeah, that just stumbled upon me. Actually, my last job, my last corporate job, had hired me recently to do a fundraiser. But yeah, I do festivals every year. So I'm doing a multicultural festival in Southwest Detroit this year on September 22nd. So if you guys are in the area, come on out. It's free, open to the public. Really great food. Really great entertainment from 12 until 7.
And if anyone was wondering how me and Stephanie met, we actually met, once again, trying to accomplish following our purpose. There's a program in Detroit called the Build Institute for Entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both in that class.
Yeah.
It's strange, though, Stephanie, that what I originally intended on trying to make a business out of, I don't want to do that anymore. It's so far from far. I'm far removed from it.
That's what I remember. Yours was more, I think, what, in the real estate. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, same thing with me. I actually changed my business plan around where it was more about weight training for Olympic weight training, but bikini competitions. That's what I was doing at the moment. And mm-hmm. now it's more into holistic. So mine is now fitness, wellness, life, doing a whole more mind, body, spirit approach and not just pick up heavy weights and drop them. Trust me, I still love doing that. But I think there's way more to life than that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. We're looking forward to having you listen to our next podcast and continue to tune in. You can also follow us on Twitter. What is our Twitter handle again?
Homegrown Girls 313.
Yes. And then same thing with our Gmail. Our Gmail is
homegrowngirls313@gmail.com.
So if there's anything that you are interested in learning about, please send us an email or tell us on Twitter, and we will try to either cover the topics ourselves or bring in an expert.
Thanks for chilling with us, I guess.
Yeah. Chilling with the homegrown girls. I'm not going to start singing.
Please, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.